An idea born out of Monday morning chats at the coffee machine. In this series, we chat to our guests about their going out experiences and how it shaped them.
Join us, Pippa
and Georgia,
team members at Skiddle who love going out and miss chatting about it. Welcome to the Going Out podcast with Skiddle.
Welcome.
This is our pilot episode to basically see, one, if we can do it,
yeah.
And two, if it works.
Yeah. Today we chatted to our director, Rich Dyer. Basically, he's been our guinea pig. And also, where better to start than at home at Skiddle.
Familiar territory.
Yeah, and also, like, basically what Skiddle was formed on, like, the love of going out. So we chatted about him going out in Carlisle and basically not going to uni.
I'm literally meeting, like, every close friend he has now.
Yeah,
like, in a club or a festival, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and how that spanned into
his
a really
career.
Successful business.
Yeah.
And the impact, I suppose, that what we're going through at the moment's had on the business, but how we're kind of persevering and, yeah, just his own personal story. So we hope you enjoy the episode.
Here it is.
Welcome, Rich, our director at Skiddle.
Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to our first podcast episode. How do you feel?
I feel honoured to be part of the podcast.
I feel like one of them rabbits that goes to one of them testing labs.
I mean, we're there already. So 19 seconds in and we're going to the testing lab.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. We'll quit out.
Tell us more about why Skiddle became a business, I think. I think that's probably the best place to start.
Yeah.
I think Skiddle became a business later on. Skiddle started because we wanted... Well, it started when I was at college. So I was like, I don't know, 17 or something. And the basis of it was they asked us to make a newspaper and we went, well, hello, 21st century, let's make a website as part of it. And that was based up in sunny Carlisle. spoiler alert, it's not sunny. And we made this thing, and that was with somebody else, actually, Chris. Now, Chris went on to be the political editor for the Sun newspaper in Scotland, so I stopped talking to him.
And, naturally.
Along the way, I met Ben, and what was Student Weekly at the time became Skiddle, because, as many of you know, I'm the beauty, Ben's the brains of Skiddle, and we ended up with a website that could get us into nightclubs for free.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, and it was very much a hobby. Ben had created this facility where you could add your events to the site, which meant that back in the day, like, you couldn't promote, event promotion was handing out flyers, it was faxing. Do you remember a fax machine? Do you even know what a fax machine is?
No.
Right,
showing your age there.
You put paper in and it disappeared and then it came out at the other end.
Have you watched the new Borat? Just sidestepping.
No, I've not yet.
There's a lot of faxing in there.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of faxing on Borat, yeah. Yeah. Is that all you took away from the film?
No, sadly
fax
not.
Fax machines.
A lot more to talk about with that, but we'll not talk about that now.
I can't give him a plug. I like the fact he went straight to Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very modern.
They basically knew it wasn't good enough for the cinema, didn't they? But
yeah,
everyone would probably watch it anyway, which is good. But so you used to fax event listings in. You know, you used to have to, you could email Mixmag, but they had like a 3-month lead time because it was a print publication and stuff like that. And as you know with this industry, because you both work in it, mm-hmm. like, you get announcements for events maybe at the, you know, maybe a month before. There's a lot of competition with artist bookings and stuff like that. Stuff doesn't get announced. Stuff happens, by the way, 2020. And at the time, it was very often out of date. So Ben created this facility where people could add and update listings. And I just went out on the back of it.
Yeah. What, in Carlisle or?
So I lived in Carlisle at the time, and I'll be perfectly honest, there wasn't a lot going on apart from, it was Lucid back in the day, my mate Matt Tyson. And big shout to Tyson there.
A different Tyson.
Which it was Lucid. I mean, we started going out at the Twisted Wheel. which was a rock club, because I used to like that. Well, I do still like that stuff. And you could get in when you were 16, so yeah. Why wouldn't you? And then that was like a big, literally underground sort of rock club. But then upstairs was cheesy 90s house music, so it was like the oddest mix of people. And if you've ever been to Carlisle, you realise that everyone's got a chip on the shoulder about something. So, like, upstairs hated downstairs, and downstairs hated upstairs, but they lived in harmony for a while.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I feel like it says a lot about you which room you spend most time in when it's...
Yeah, I mean, I just, yeah, I wandered around because I liked it all, you know, yeah. And I always have, and, like...
Yeah, it depends what, like, stage of the night you're in as well, because sometimes you just want to be in that cheesy room, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
With your hands in the air.
Yeah. The thing with Carlisle is that they've not really forgiven Scotland for everything. They've not really forgiven West Cumbria for a lot. They don't really like East Cumbria. And they just want to be a city by itself. And it is a little bit insular. But that makes it loads of fun, because when stuff gets insular, like, the creative people really come out. You know, yeah, I went to an art college up there. And when I was at school, like 90% of my year probably wanted to batter me. You know, like, because... I just didn't give two hoots about a lot of things. And, you know, I listened to Radiohead, and but I also listened to, God, well, back then, I don't even know who did, like, I remember the earliest dance music being like Baby D, Let Me Be Your Fantasy. And that's when I was like, oh, I quite like that. Do you know what I mean? And that, you know, obviously I missed Acid House. You know, yeah. I was too young. But yeah, I was starting to listen to that kind of stuff. So then by the time you get to art college and you're sort of necking magic mushrooms and going for a wander, then, you know, you're getting into the drum and bass and you're getting in. But I didn't want to ever pigeonhole myself, because I still like the rock club, I still like that downstairs, you know. Yeah. And at the time, like, the first Leeds festival I went to was 1999, I think.
Who was headlining?
It was probably one of the first Leeds. It was the first Leeds festival, and it was the Chili Peppers that headlined the first year.
Nice.
And then the following year, we went and we saw System of a Down and Placebo and Rage Against the Machine all on the same lineup. And it's what dreams are made of, yeah, if you like that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the year after, I remember dragging somebody to the dance tent, because they didn't really have a dance tent then. And we saw a little known outfit known as Too Many DJs, right? And all these kids were like, oh, I quite like that, because it's dance music, which I hate, but they're playing Dolly Parton. And my mum listens to Dolly Parton. So... yeah, so I was like, oh, well, I'm going to spend a couple of hours in here, and then went off and saw the Stereophonics or something. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, that's what you do. Yeah. And that's it. And back to the original question. So Skiddle was kind of all those things. And most importantly, we were offering a facility to event organisers that they could come on and they could change a lineup or an opening time or something like that. And it happened straight away on the internet. And, you know, I'm not saying I was at the birth of the internet, because we weren't, but I think we were at the birth of the growth of the internet.
Yeah. And was this just in Carlisle originally?
Carlisle and Preston, the two nightlife hubs of society.
Yeah.
But Ben was at uni. He went to UCLan and I went to uni, waste of time. And we used to get on the train, and on Fridays they did a 6 o'clock train home on the Saturday morning. So you could go to Sankey's, and back in the glorious days, if you'd got an all-nighter at Sankey's, oh, the dream. So you could just come out and, like, you know, Ancoats now is, wow, it's amazing, isn't it? It's all developed. It is what it is. But we used to come out and walk down basically wasteland and fear for your life, trying to find your way back to Piccadilly and just have a... get a train home, stay in Preston or whatever. So yeah.
How does that photo of the Sankey's building being made into, is it into an office?
Yeah, so
how does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, everything's got to change, hasn't it? And, you know, we went to, again, like, when you go out to you, it's always going to be like the best time of that particular environment. So I went to Sankey's somewhere in the middle. You know, I met people there that went, oh, it's not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, right? Like you always find them people.
Yeah. And I was like, well, okay, well, I fucking love it. So
yeah,
crack on. But, you know, when we first started going, Sasha and Kirsty were working with David. And that was the original, no sort of toilet cubicle doors and proper good fun, good, just all about the music, proper sweaty, just whatever. And then that developed, Sasha and Kirsty left, they went on to set up the Warehouse Project, and, you know, David then put more of his vision in there, and it was great, it was different. I mean, upstairs, they turned into Spectrum for a bit, which was what the upstairs floor, and they put in, like, this LED ceiling, which, like, production level-wise was amazing, but then it's like, well, this used to be the little room you go to escape to, maybe, yeah. And now it's kind of shining a very big light on you.
Yeah,
And then, but, you know, then they slowly developed downstairs, and they did bits, and they did what... all sorts, but, you know, then Sankey's started competing with effectively the Warehouse Project, you know, and nightlife, the clubbing started to change because people wanted these bigger experiences. You know, it is, whether you say it or not, people are always looking for something novel.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and Sankey's was great, but it did slowly start to disappear, you know, and there's nothing more disappointing than going somewhere that you had fond memories of and then thinking, oh, that's a bit of shit, isn't
it? Oh, so you feel like you watched it kind of change in a way?
Yeah, yeah. So I saw it go from, like, dirty underground to really... I mean, it was never a glitzy club, but, like, I thought quite a high-level experience type thing. But then that went through the motions of not being able to necessarily get the bookings or, you know, because there's a lot of that goes on in this industry. And yeah. It's like, well, certain things are going to affect that. And then, you know, the club just got quieter and it was just different experiences. But, you know, I had some of the best nights of my life in that venue, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's sick.
So to answer your question, to see it as an office now... It's fine, you know. Yeah. I've not looked around it. I think I might have looked around it one day. You know, I think they'll do. It's like some people say about the Hacienda getting turned into apartments. It's like, yeah, it's a shame, but like the Hacienda, it wouldn't be the Hacienda still.
No.
You know, if the doors aren't shut, it'd be a different experience to what you went to anyway. You know, I never went to the Hacienda. I was too young, but I speak to people that have, and they were like, well, yeah, at its peak. But when you chat to people, its peak is like 6 months.
Yeah, because it kind of closed at its peak. Well, but I guess that's how to create like a legendary club in a way.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And, you know, when you start adding stories and myths and like, oh, you know, it's like the Skittle Christmas Day. Like,
no one really knows what happened.
Yeah, you don't know unless you were there.
Yeah, right? And even if you were there, you don't really know.
Yeah. And I definitely don't know half of what goes on the Christmas Day. I just pay the bill.
Yeah.
And the police officers. Yeah. So, like one of the saddest moments of my life was watching the Republic burn down, which is the home of Gatecrasher. But then also at the same time, that had peaked.
Yeah.
You know, Gatecrasher again, like me and Ryan used to go and we didn't even know each other at the time, or sort of earlier on, but a lot of people that went to Gatecrasher in Sheffield at the Republic, not Gatecrasher 1, the Republic as it was, they will hold that as some of the happiest moments of their life, of growing up. You know, and those whole weekend experiences were like little mini holidays. But then to sit and watch it burn down, you're like, well, it's really sad we're losing such an iconic building that played a big part in my life. But also at the same time, it had already gone. It had already left. Yeah. And it wasn't because we got too old for the place. It's because the place had got too old for the people that went. So,
yeah.
But that's the state of nightlife. You know, you can't run legacy events without changing them. You know, the Warehouse Project is still amazing because it's a concept.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're at Boddington's and everyone's like, wow, you know. And I was trying to think, we went and watched bands on Thursday nights at the Warehouse Project at Boddington's. I'm sure we saw Falls, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, you know, that kind of thing where they were just in the second warehouse. So you did whatever, and then Friday night you go and have a proper rave up, but it was massive, so it never felt...
Is this when it was under Piccadilly?
No, so originally it was at the Bonington Brewery,
right,
which is the big car park opposite the MBN,
yeah.
Right. Which is now, so there's now a travel lodge and the rest of it's levelled, but that used to be the Boddington's Brewery. And they went, yeah, we're doing a party in there. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hello.
Can I come?
Yeah.
And they had, did you go for free?
Yeah. And they did a few different things and it was great, but it always had a lifespan. And I'm pretty sure they only did one season there. They might have done two. And then they had to go to Store Street, which is where you just mentioned, which is, again, that was the underground car park. And again, they ran it for 12 weeks and then they disappear and then they come back and they did something else. And
was it Vic Warehouse for a bit as well?
Well, this is it. So then with Store Street, they had hotels getting built around it and stuff like that. And they were like, oh, we're going to leave here.
Mm.
So then they went up to Victoria Warehouse before... Victoria Warehouse existed. They were effectively like the launch.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about that actually.
Yeah, so they were like
it's
the
kind of like Mayfield.
Yeah.
Use that as the launch. Yeah.
Yeah, so they were the launch partners for it. Did they do one? There was definitely two, maybe three seasons up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, stuff went on. They've gone back to Store Street. And it was like, oh, okay. You said you're never going to do anything here again, and you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're back, and there's all these younger kids coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the warehouse, man, the shows that, like, Rich and Sam, and they're able to book, are just, they're going to get some cool stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they single-handedly brought back Sheik, but they
they contributed.
They took a punt on Sheik on a Thursday night, and they sold it out in minutes, and everyone's like, oh, people still like us, you know. And it was one of the greatest shows on earth, you know. And it was in there, and then obviously they went on to do loads of festivals and stuff, and whether they're responsible for the return, it probably would have happened anyway, but it was a very significant moment in the Warehouse Project's history that they bought Nile Rodgers and they sold out really, really quickly, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So they do Store Street and they're doing like the big Prids parties and stuff like that, and it's like people want to go. They want to, like, you can have a Hacienda in the Warehouse Project, or you can have Eric Prids in the Warehouse Project, or you can have a Sheik in the Warehouse Project,
yeah.
And they're three completely different crowds. 10% or so might cross over and go to all three, but there's three different audiences there going,
yeah,
well, that was amazing, yeah. You know. And we saw Aeroplane in there, man. I was like, this is like, how's this going to work?
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
You know, so you're part of that. And then obviously Store Street, again, was a little bit like, oh, coming, maybe they were getting too big for it. Although there's always a plan with products like the Warehouse Project. And, you know, Mayfield came along and, wow, what a space, you know. They're able to scale the brand up, they're able to scale the show up, and they're able to get the bookings to support that. And, you know, George Fitzgerald in the main arena of Mayfield Depot.
I went to that. The one that was before the year that they went to Mayfield.
Yeah, so they did the teaser gig.
Yeah, that was like one of the best nights out.
And you're looking down there, and there's always something great about just a crowd of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying trying to get to the bar sometimes, but if you're stood at the back of a long room and you can see everybody brought together for the same reason, you know, and they're just, most of them are smiling. She might have fallen out of him, whatever, blah, blah. But the majority of us are smiling.
Having a good time.
Having a good time. And you just stand at the back and reflect. And you can go, yeah. All right. Yeah, nice one. Well done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Top this.
Oh, feel really nostalgic, you even just talking about crowds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, well, yeah. And I think this is one of, you know, oh my word, I knocked my microphone over with excitement. One of the things that's really knocked people for six this year with COVID is the experience is that kind of we're in this together kind of stuff, you know. So whether that is Mayfield and you stood at the back, or you're in a nice small sweaty club listening to some like Romanian techno that the 100 people in that room love and everyone else would hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. or wandering around Glastonbury at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Just meeting people on the same like wavelength and mindset at that time.
And it's
just...
when you ask somebody what the time is at Glastonbury and you think, oh, it's Sunday. Where? How?
Yeah, when did that happen? When did it
Sunday? I'm sure it was Thursday when I last asked. So that, you know, and just togetherness is massively missing from society at the moment. And I think that... That spans all forms of entertainment and hospitality because, clubbing, it's about a dance floor or, you know, you're at a gig and, you know, it's your favourite band and you're dead chuffed you finally got to see them or whatever. But even like the theatre, just being...
Yeah.
All eyes forward. And I guess that's it. Like, everybody there is focusing.
Yeah.
They're focusing on what's going on. And we were very lucky to February off term. We took the kids to London before all this kicked off and actually got some culture in. And we saw The Lion King and Wicked.
Oh, wow.
Two top choices.
A day after each other. There's loads of rushing around. I messed up booking the tickets. It was really fun. For somebody that owns...
Dad got it wrong.
I tell you what, for somebody that owns a ticket outlet, I'm not very good at booking tickets.
Yeah. They're not on Skiddle. I don't know.
Yeah, and my wife will definitely back me up there that, oh my goodness, me. I was like, right, well, we can't get a refund for that, but we can move it till the day after because I booked two shows at exactly the same time. Anyway, long story. But... being in there and, you know, The Lion King, I don't know if you've seen it, but the opening scene.
It's well emotional, the beginning of it.
The animals are coming down through the crowd, doing it. The kids are just looking everywhere. And then that's the thing, that the elderly couple behind us are just as fascinated as my five-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And they're looking around and they're going, and this is it. And when you're getting back to dance floors and you're doing, like, you've all committed to that night. Yeah, it's not like... going to, shall we say, some of the cheesier clubs, like back to the Twisted Wheel. Like, we went there on a Saturday night because we wanted to get drunk.
Yeah.
And bang around. But again, it is that kind of same community. It was just a bit of a shit mosh pit, right? As you've got older and you go to these things, the message is, you know, hey, look at us, we're all in this together. And unfortunately, we've really, really struggled to do that this year, so...
Yeah, we're obviously approaching like the second lockdown. How do you think like it's going to be different going into it in winter than it is like in summer?
I think more people will be willing to do Zoom quizzes.
Do you think?
That's a joke.
The opposite.
Because
I don't want to go near.
Because like as we did Zoom quizzes. And it got sunnier for longer outside. Zoom quizzes disappeared.
Yeah, but people making up excuses even though they weren't any excuses.
What else have you got?
Yeah.
It's either the Zoom quiz or Strictly Come Dancing. And I like Strictly Come Dancing, don't get me wrong. But
it's only on for a couple of hours a week.
It's really tiresome, COVID, isn't it? Like,
yeah, what do you think about, you know, there was live streams and that was all exciting last time.
Yeah.
What is that? We're going to go back to live streams, or do you think people are just going to have a rest?
So, are people going to start being creative? Is there going to be something different than a live stream? Probably not, to be honest.
Maybe more of that, you buy tickets for a certain performance, because a few artists started doing that.
I watched Bicep.
So people are just going to cash in, is what you're saying.
Not necessarily in a bad way, but you would pay tickets. You would pay
for a ticket to watch something that's
different.
So lockdown number one, it was free, but lockdown number two, we're like, yeah, well,
no, they actually
people have
money
less
now.
Money. Yeah, but buy a ticket.
I don't like watching people on screens. I get it.
You go out basically for the vibe, for like the community,
atmosphere, the experience.
I get it. I support it. I prefer a YouTube stream because I can watch it on my telly.
Yeah.
Rather than looking at a 14-inch MacBook, which, or 13, whatever I've got. And the speakers are all right, but it doesn't reverberate your rib cage, does it?
No.
No, and the kids are probably going to ask you something, or the dog's going to bite you, or just, you know, you sat there having a drink by yourself.
That's the worst thing about it.
I even felt like that when we were doing Zoom quizzes. Like, I actually felt like I was with my mates, and then I shut my laptop screen and I realised I was just a bit drunk in my
own
room.
You drank a bottle of Prosecco on your
I just crawl in a ball and go to sleep.
And it'd be the saddest thing ever.
Question number 12. At what point do you realise you've become an alcoholic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Question two.
Yeah.
And
the quiz ends there.
And this is it. I mean, we could touch on alcohol, we could touch on drug use, that they are things that are attributed to going out partying, but they enhance the experience. I think you've hit the nail on the head. Like, sitting at home and being a bit drunk by yourself is not that much fun. You know, it's...
No. And if it was fun, there probably is a problem there. Like...
Yes, well, there's certain numbers you can call. But, it's... It is really just tiresome. I don't know if people are going to do things differently. I don't know if it's going to be more than 4 weeks. I don't know how we come out of this, really. And the thing is, I don't think anyone knows, and you can just keep talking about it. Is it going to change anything? No. Do the people that are in power really care? No. We're just going to get to a point where stuff might be allowed to start happening again. And we did see some really great social distancing things happen. We did see event organisers, like we said we would, go, right, what are the guidelines that we can work, you know, and we'll bloody well do it, right? And if you look at what Luke from The Social created down in Maidstone in Moat Park, you know, it's a massive big top. It was nicely sectioned off. Did it follow all the rules? It absolutely did. Was he still able to deliver an Oktoberfest event? Yes, he was. Did he have Nick von Tulian Eats Everything? Yes, he did. Was the vibe quite the same? I'm not entirely sure, I wasn't there. Did it look good? Yeah. Did it get loads of good reviews? Yeah. Okay. So, Free Islands at Mayfield Depot, what they've been creating there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a food-led experience.
Yeah, it's mad because it's kind of like it's been born in with all these kind of rules in place. So it's like a step in the future, really, because everything's social distance. It's like, wow.
Free Island is just Disneyland for food, isn't it?
Yeah, can't stop ordering things.
Yeah,
especially when you don't have to move and everything is just being brought to you.
Yeah.
And now they've got a curling lane. I mean... What?
Yeah. Isn't that like the motion of
what came out of lockdown? Right, well, I'm now the world Manchester champion for curling.
Yeah, I've been practicing really hard.
And good on them.
Because I've spent all my money on ice curling.
Because like you said,
you just get to set your own garden, that's sick.
And you know, the guys at Broadway, the guys I've forgotten, John Drape and friends, I've forgotten the name of your company, sorry John, do apologise, but and Luke and everything, that they've just kind of bashed their heads together and gone, right, we need to make this mad, we need to make this an experience, we need people to talk about it like we're doing now, and these are the rules.
Yeah,
right, tick the box, great. Bringing in a lockdown and just going, well, yeah, regardless of the amount of money you've spent and your ability to follow rules, we're now going to say, well, you can't, then it's back to your own house. And it's like, well, okay. And people will then tend to break the rules more when they've been told not to follow.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we gave people experiences like Freight Island, if we let people flourish and just... Yeah, you've got to come in here with your family and you've got to stay in that pod and you've got to follow the one-way system. I'm no scientist, disclaimer, but I can't see that that's going to be any more of an issue than what's going on. And you know, my kids are going back to school tomorrow and they do not follow rules.
Yeah. Rebels.
The kids, you know, and this is it. And, you know, I'm lucky to be sat here aged 37-ish. And
didn't know this.
I am
learning so much.
You know, it's like literally 19 years since I started going out. And I remember being 18 and 19 and what I did and where I went. and the freedoms that are attached to that. And no, I didn't go to uni, but I can grow with uni students. That's the cheaper way of doing it.
Yeah. All the perks.
It's like friends with benefits. Friends with benefits. And you just... you just did what you wanted. You got by with the money. You know, we're not talking about, oh, loads of money or whatever, but, you know, you could get a few of you together and get in the car to Nation, you know.
Yeah.
I remember my mate Tom just ringing me up on, like, Boxing Day, and he lived up in Carlisle, and he went, I'm really, 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 really fed up with the in-laws. Do you want to go to Cream? I was like,
What, for like the Boxing Day?
Yeah. So he rang me up at lunchtime. 3 hours later, he's picking me up and we're on the way to Nation. And that kind of behaviour is, you know, being taken away from a lot of people. And this is, you know, there's a...
Yeah, you take that for granted, don't you? Like, I feel like I took that for granted.
Yeah, because you are. You're young.
The spontaneity, definitely.
Like, all right, you have responsibilities in life, and most... people that you know aren't the kind of people that just shirk all the responsibilities, because those people are called twats, right? However, you can grow up and, well, for as long as you want, really. Like, most people take responsibility for their own actions. So, you know, I got married and then we have kids. So obviously kids change the going out society thing, but then the kids got a bit older, so we offload them, and then we start going, oh.
It went back to normal.
And your behavior.
On Boxing Day. Lunchtime notice.
Yeah.
You texting your wife, like,
in-laws.
I'm really bored of the in-laws.
Sat across the table from me. What I'm getting at now, what's happened this year is people that might have gone to uni for the first time or might have really just kind of gone, oh, yeah, I'm ready for this. Or they were looking forward to the new season of the Warehouse Project, or Steelyard, or even like, oh, yeah, Creamfields, and like, I've got my ticket, and it's like the first time. Yeah, I remember, like I said, Leeds Festival. I remember the first time I went to Glastonbury, I was like 17 years old, and I went by myself to find my friends because I heard on the grapevine that he was at Glastonbury. We didn't have mobile phones back then, so it was a bit of a punt, right?
Wow.
And the beautiful...
We're like, what?
And the beautiful thing about it, well, if you think that's good...
That's
risky,
like...
My mum lent me the money for a ticket 2 weeks before Glastonbury, and I picked it up from the tourist information office.
And you were able to sort that, that's mad.
That was the year that 100,000 people came over the wall, so I was a little bit annoyed that I bought a ticket for start, And that was the year, they then had a year off... And then they had to put the big fence up because the licensing went, look, this has become a monster because it was horrifically dangerous. You know, you're walking around, it's 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and it was like a busy Manchester city centre on
a
Saturday.
What was the vibe like? Was it
was
a nice
amazing.
Vibe?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It wasn't like a hostile like,
No. I did get mugged, but it was very late in the morning.
But
or
it was
early.
Fine.
No, I mean, listen, in every, like, I hate, like, people go, oh, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. You had a rough experience.
With one person, kind of.
Yeah, thing. And it's like, they used to, back in the day, Creamfields, at the Aerodrome, forgotten it, I'm starting to obviously forget stuff. But before it moved to Daresbury, it used to be in the airfield, and people used to say, oh, you don't want to go there. I'm like, why? The best August bank holidays of my life, and it was just one night, and you go and party, and like, oh, you know, loads of scousers, and you're like, there's some of the soundest people that you ever meet. Like, I never in all my time saw any trouble, and I know people did, but it doesn't mean it's a troublesome event.
And that's
the same with some clubs, so you don't want to go there,
put a label on it.
Why would, you know, if you're generally nice to people, you find out that they're going to be nice to you. Mm-hmm. Unless you live in Carlisle, right?
Everyone's got a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah. They want to be Scotland, you
heard. Listen, I love Carlisle, but there's certain areas down there that I believe even now are just a little bit flaky. And boys just want to go out, have a few lagers and have a scrap, and you're like, nah, mate, it's not why I'm here. But good on you for having a role.
Different types of people.
So what was the question?
Well, the whole question of the podcast is like, are we changed by our going out experiences? And you've kind of talked us through kind of like your experiences when you were younger and like how that's changed now you've got kids. But like, you are one of the people that when you kind of talk about your friends, there's always kind of a link to like either a festival or like a club experience. Like, how many of your friends did you actually meet on nights out? And like, tell us some of the best ones.
So, that is a good question. Quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm thinking that you're going through about 15 stories.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ryan, who works here, is now our operations manager.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan is one of my longest friends, and he used to run a club night. And you say club night because it was in a village hall in Braithwaite, which is just outside of Keswick. Now, Ryan liked the same music that I did, and he went to Gatecrasher and stuff. And there used to be a message board called Gurn.net, which is used to be a clubbing community. So before Facebook, we had forums, right? Skiddle used to have a forum, which is funny. But
that is funny. You had... Can we dig that out and see what people say on it?
Maybe, yeah.
That'd be fun.
And Gurn.net was like the big clubbing one. It was mainly steered more to like hard house and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But other people came on board. And then in Carlisle, I got to meet a girl called Fiona, whose forum name was Insane Fee, right? And we met and she said, oh, there's this party that somebody that she'd also met through the message board, cousin, was DJing at, right? And we're like, all right, okay. And I'm like... what could possibly go wrong? So jumped in the car and went to the Insomnia, it's called, and that was the thing, and had a great night and did stuff and like, you know, stayed up till ended up back at a house party and met some other people, shall we say, and then like we got chatting and I actually met Ryan's brother Luke, and he was chatting about ours. Ryan organised it, and I think Ryan had either gone to a different party or he'd done whatever. And then I wrote a review about the thing for like Skiddle 0.1, and I wrote this review, and like Ryan's printed out, and he's still got it.
Oh, and that's cute.
Second event, I actually got introduced to Ryan, and he went, oh, I love your review and whatever. And over the years, we got to know each other and, you know, became really, really important part of my life. And when we used to do the Wickham Festival, he'd come up every year and help us build it. And Ryan had his own sort of career path going on. Then he joined, I'm going to call them the Special Forces. They're not quite the Special Forces, but just imagine people who are police officers with big guns protecting nuclear stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty hard, yeah? He put himself through that, and built more and more up, and obviously it was a running joke for years about when he'd come work at Skiddle. But to me, it was like, when people come work for me, like, I treat it as a livelihood, and this year's been really hard on that because I'm not like, you're not just staff, you know, your family's a bit cliche, but you are, like, I realise what being employed means. So when you're the employer, like, having to let somebody go for whatever reason, it is difficult. So then when you're saying to somebody like Ryan, do you want to come work for me? And Ryan lived up in Whitehaven, which is like even further than Carlisle, like Carlisle by the sea. And we finally got into a job. He was moving his family down here and stuff like that. So, but me and Ryan, for years, the stories are unprintable.
Unrecordable.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's now the godfather of my children.
And that's amazing that you met through just a common interest in the same music.
But through trance music. Now, Fee, that I was talking about, she met John at Gatecrasher. They ended up getting married. So they've now like moved down to Peterborough. And then Jamie, that works with us in our sort of marketing team, and like Jamie's like, oh, he's my best mate, and he, you know, and it's so Jamie used to be in the Slamming Boys, which is a DJ duo from Manchester.
And I didn't know about that. Yeah. Oh, this is exciting.
So they used to produce and DJ a lot. And
the Slamming Boys.
The Slamming Boys, yeah, no G.
No G, no obviously. G.
Was it?
Keeping it cool.
We sound a little bit like Steve Wright there, don't we? That's slamming, no G. Yeah. And they, so Jamie was a pretty big house music DJ and probably playing all sorts of clubs we'd never go to. But, you know, it's that kind of vibe. And he started using Skiddle to promote his nights. And it was like Slamming Boys nights, but James also involved with Funkademia.
Shout out.
That's Manchester's longest running club night, Funkademia. 25 years old this year. Watch out for probably a stream at Skiddle.
Oh, yeah.
To celebrate the birthday. So Jamie, yeah, it turns out he was at V Festival DJing for the Bacardi B Bar. Right, so I've never met Jamie.
Even V Festival's a thing
V,
of the past.
Honestly, V was... Wow, the best 36 hours of my life at that festival. All right. So me and Emma jumped in the car, basically went down to V. We got tickets. There was other people at V that we knew, but I said, look, I said I'm going to say hello to Jamie, do whatever. And anyone that knows Jamie will straight away recognise that what I'm about to say still applies, right? So he's DJing, he's behind the decks. He's DJing for Bacardi, so he gets given like the biggest rider possible. So Jamie goes, he's literally like, come on then, let's have a drink, right? And that was like the first sentence. And it's like, right, yeah, so cocktails, whatever, right? Spent about 30 minutes with him, right? And he's like, I better go back and DJ, because he often forgets that he has to do that.
Yeah, right? That's what you do.
It's quite a repeat thing with Jamie, is that mid-DJ set, he'd forget that he's supposed to be doing it. And we met, we had great fun. We went and saw McFly after that. Jamie didn't come. Honestly, right? Me, just wasn't my wife at the time, but was she my fiance, whatever. Still married her.
Still in result.
And we ended up, shall we say merry?
Yeah.
Let's put it like that.
Yeah, that's a nice term.
With our friends from Scotland, hugging each other to McFly, it's all about you, right? And
oh
just,
my God. What I a just, picture, what? By the way. I've got it right now in my head.
I burst into tears.
Oh.
And it's just like this, you know.
That's giving me goosebumps.
I don't buy McFly albums or whatever. You went and saw him as a bit of a joke. And they were on before Damien Rice, which, by the way, again, Damien Rice live, rocking out the second 10. So it wasn't the main stage, it was the 10. Unbelievable. Because obviously, like, if you listen to his albums, it's like... It just actually scale
the past that. I feel like I've not heard that name. Is that like the Cannonball?
The Cannonball.
Yeah.
It's hard to die when you're a star. Or whatever, I can't remember the song. But rocking out live, wow, amazing. And again, everyone's in the tent together.
It's crazy when you have that experience and you're like, you don't sound like that on a recording, but when you're in like the live element of
it's
much better that way around. When you see someone live and they're not as good, and you're like, oh,
you sound better on your recording.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and listen to it at home.
Anybody has ever been to see Ian Brown, you'll know what you're on about there. Ian.
Ooh. I hope you're not listening, Ian.
Give up and put a mask on. That's all I'm saying. So we met Jamie. I mean, that'd be a blast. That'd be a win, wouldn't it, if Ian Brown gets really annoyed in tweets about this podcast.
That would be sick.
That'd be the launch, wouldn't it?
Say something else that'd piss him off.
Skiddle podcast, stratospheric. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a one way for us to get listens, isn't it?
Yeah. Ian Brown, I went to see you at Rockness and you were rubbish.
Let's try and get him in as a guest.
Let's get McFly.
So good. All right, and yeah, you wouldn't go away and listen to McFly, but they were good, they were fun.
I would.
So, met Jamie and then stayed in touch, and now, like, you know, we run a festival together. He has a brewery. He's also the godfather of my youngest child. And it's just like the people that
it's a love story.
It is a love story. And but to answer the question, how does going out change yet? Well, I don't know, because I've only ever been out.
That's a really good point.
You know,
and a big flaw of our podcast, really. How are you to know?
If I didn't go out, it would be like, have you seen the film Sliding Doors?
No.
Oh, just watch it. Yeah.
I know kind of what it's... I know what you mean when you say that.
Basically, like, if she didn't miss the tube that day, she wouldn't have found out that a fella's having an affair.
Yeah.
I seem to remember the story.
It's like the butterfly effect. Yeah, that's mad to think where you would be without...
Well, it is, isn't it?
Because your love of music.
Well, Yeah, because, right, so I'm not...
Maybe you're not changed, but you've been shaped.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not a massive crate digger. I'm not somebody, you know, that has a big... I've got a lot of CDs, but they're all sort of varied or whatever. But I'm not the kind of guy that, even now, you know, we used to go to Gatecrasher in, out, but I won't remember the name of all the tunes or anything like that. Like, some of my other friends are like, hey, have you heard the 2006 remix of Sasha's Expander played completely on a xylophone? No, I haven't, yeah, you know, and that hasn't going to also change me. But yes, did I go to these events? Did I meet loads of people? Has it rounded me? Probably, because I've met some terrible meths along the way. Don't get me wrong, like, if you're being out and then you end up back at a party, or, like, I've been at the running things end. So, like I said, we used to do the Wicker Man, we used to put on club nights, we used to do whatever, and you'd always, like, I don't want to stereotype, but the amount of middle-aged women that appear backstage, oh, no, the organiser.
Yeah.
Well, you don't, because he's here.
It's me. Right?
Do one, right? And
what are they after? Free drinks?
Oh, I don't. They just like, some people just like to appear, right? Yeah. And that's fine.
You
and
like,
I think
the status.
I don't really know. But then you're like, well, why are you here? And it's like, you really. So one year, big dance, and we used to run the dance village. It turned to be, and one of the main tents we had, I can't even remember his DJ, but it was absolutely bouncing. And a middle-aged woman just appeared, and we're like, listen, you're backstage, do one. It's like, no, seriously. And it was, you've always got to measure the situation, because is it going to be more hassle than it's worth? And
also,
I'm not the biggest, strongest guy. So we radioed for a security to come get her. And in the meantime, in between the security turning up and us kind of like, what? She managed to trip over one of the fucking mains power things and the whole sound system went out. Which you can't just turn them back on because the, you know.
Yeah, that's like worst scenario,
so
really,
then,
isn't it?
So then the tent just is killed for like 3 or 4 minutes, because if you just turn it back on, it'll pop. You've got to scale it back up kind of thing. And this is... Oh, you shouldn't have left that there. How about, love?
You should,
right?
Yeah.
You just listen to what we asked you in the first place. And yes, you could get angry, and you can meet, like, not even on the organisational stage, but even just when you're out and about, us, you know, you accidentally bump into someone in the club, you've got two reactions. Smile, say, oh, it's all right, mate. Yeah, do one. If they want to buy you another drink, it's up to you whether you let them or not. Oh, the amount of people you see get angry and you're like, what are we going to achieve here?
Yeah.
Like,
totally,
what?
And I always associate that with different crowds of people, because I remember being at Hideout and feeling like loads of people kept bashing into me and not apologising. And that literally stuck with me for like the whole time, because it was like such a different vibe.
And again, not to be stereotypical, but people that take certain drugs, whether that's cocaine or ketamine.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're using steroids as well, because that was
steroids.
Definitely a link between people that were pushing into me and like...
There can be. And again, I never want to say it, but yes, there are certain crowds that are less aware of the surroundings than others. And, you know, sometimes people just want to go out and be seen. They're not there necessarily for the music. They're there because they know other people are going to be there. And therefore, if they might not be on the same wavelength as you. And that can be frustrating. Yeah. But
also, I can remember like going out in clubs, like, I don't know, in Preston, and people are just leery. And that was, yeah. I didn't associate that with like my best nights out. But going out and listening to like house music, people have been a bit more forgiving and a bit more...
Yeah,
like a bit more like a family, like you're part of
like a nicer time if you have a nicer reaction, I think.
Yeah,
like.
Definitely.
And when you get exposed to a lot of people, I guess the more you do it, the more you kind of go, yeah, all right, yeah, okay, that happens. And you just walk away and you get a smile on your face. And I've knocked people over before. Like, I've bumped into people. I'm human. And I'll just say, right, Sam.
I've had a few to drink.
Yeah, can I get you a drink? I'm really sorry, can I get you another drink?
Yeah.
And most of the time they say no, it was an accident. And then a couple of times they've said yes, you go to the bar with them and you're still talking to them 3 hours later. Stuff happens. So yes, has going out changed me? Probably. It's probably shaped me a lot. I've met some amazing people. And then, we got really lucky with Skiddle. Like, we work hard. Don't get me wrong. We work really, really hard over the years. But luck's come into it. And we've got to meet some of the greatest event producers in the world. We've got to meet some of the greatest artists in the world. And we've got a great workforce that wants to carry on creating what we do. And, you know, we kind of are responsible for people's lives, you know, yeah. the weekends and, you know, like yeah. putting the right shows in front of people and recommending the right shows to people and saying, hey, this is us. This is what we think you should go to. And, you know, it's up to you what you do once you get through that door, you know.
Yeah, totally. Like, do you think now from having like 2020 a bit of a write-off for like events and festivals and stuff, like, is there something that you can't wait to do next year? Like, is it more just a normal pub, like lunch out with your mates, or is it like the festival?
I really love creating events. And I've really missed that, I think.
Yeah.
And on all levels, you know, we have the Highest Point Festival, and like COVID hit in what, February, March. And we were like, oh, okay, yeah, May doesn't look likely. And then we're like, yeah, we're going to move it to September. It'll be fine. And then
it's mad how like,
yeah, it's literally how
that felt like, yeah, that's definitely yeah. going to be on then.
And I've missed that, and I've missed the excitement and the buzz. And I mean, how much nice weather did we have? What a punishment.
Right at the beginning, weren't it?
To have like 14 weeks of sunshine and not be allowed to share it.
But if we had to have a lockdown, which we obviously did, yeah. I'd rather it be sunny.
Imagine if it's sunny now for the next one, like a freak weather comes back.
Just moving on to the conspiracy theories.
Yeah. No, sorry, that's the next one.
The chemtrails are back in the sky, which means we have to be locked down, but at least it's going to, the sun has literally come out.
20 degrees.
Look through that window there. It's literally just got sunny, as you've said it.
You heard it first.
Pippa controls the weather.
Yeah.
Like years ago, we spent something like 10 weeks in a tent because we were going to the festivals and scanning the tickets ourselves, or like I say, we used to run the Dance Village, or took the bus up to Kendall Calling, and they all bounced off each other.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't miss that because I have got older and I've missed my family basically too much. But being part of that, and you know, when we do Highest Point, Williamson's Park in May next year, Rag & Bone Man definitely will happen, I think. taking my kids up and showing them the shell of a stage, and then we always have fish and chips on the Monday night, like as part of the build, getting fish and chips, and we sit on the main stage and eat it, knowing fine well that 5 days later there'll be 6,000-7,000 people in front of that stage. And yeah, that's been disappointing. And then when like you're reading people's Facebook comments and stuff about, oh, I really wanted to come and like, yeah. I miss this. And when we used to put raves on in the castle, in the prison in the castle. That's the only rave in Europe inside a prison. Thank you.
You can read about it online.
Yeah.
Well, that's A-Wing at Lancaster Castle. Thank the Daily Mail for ruining it for us. At Halloween, I just had this ace rule that you're not getting in unless you're in fancy dress. And the first time we did it, people didn't take me seriously. And there was like literally 50 people that didn't turn up in fancy dress. And I just said, you've got 1 hour to go home, find something, and then you come in.
That's amazing. I'd love to see what people did in that short space.
I'd go like the shopping, get a bag.
Like a newspaper and then just like wrap it around and just be like a walking newspaper.
They all managed it, and I was looking back at the photos, and I put a photo up on Halloween this year and just said, look, we do genuinely miss you. You know, like,
yeah.
I miss creating, I miss going, I miss talking to people, because like at the festival, like you're busy, 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 but you always take the time to chat to your customers. And if they've got a little gripe, or if something's not gone quite right, or more importantly as well, they just want to tell you that they're having a buzzing time, or I've got all the time in the world for that, just to sit and go. And then you read back through it and you think, yeah, do you know what? I agree with you, that needs a bit of work, or that was class. Like, I'm really, really pleased we did that. And
yeah, especially from all that work, it's nice to actually hear what people thought.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, to book your favorite artist and completely miss them because somebody's hurt themselves or something like that, it's all part of it. And like I say before, I feel really fortunate that we got the sort of London trip in February, and we saw a couple of shows, and we stayed at a hotel, and we did nice things, went on the London Eye and stuff. And because it doesn't feel like there's going to be anything else like that this year. You know, with what, 2nd of November, 1st of November. And what's the end? You know, and that's the community, whatever size your community is, you know, even just having a couple with, so the offices have been shut. We've had skeleton staff in the office for customer care, basically answering the phone. And just when you had like one or two people that just pop in to pick up some kit or record a podcast or whatever, the dynamic goes, oh, hello. Oh, I can talk to you and, you know.
Well, it's been months. It's been months of communicating through a laptop.
And I did read a while ago, there's some science about if you're staring at a camera, then you're not triggering some kind of, I don't know, endorphin or something, you know, like where it's like, yeah, you're there, but you're not there. And back to what you're saying, you are just drunk.
Yeah, back to it's that. Really sad.
I'm drunk. This is a one person flat in the recycling bin, represents a family home. I've threw up two down.
I'd literally go down to fill up my glass and my parents would be like, you are steaming. I'm like,
you're here again. This is
I'm not steaming. You're steaming. You're not.
But it's that buzz when you first started seeing friends on the screen. It was like, drink, drink, drink. And then it was like, this is pretty lonely, actually. Yeah. When the laptop screen gets.
Especially with your phone signal as well.
Oh, yeah.
Driving Pipper up.
I actually had to ring you back and just say, I didn't catch any of that. And I just pretended I did. So imagine moving into a house where you and your boyfriend have the same provider for your phone, which isn't in the area that you've moved into at all. So that's what me and Johnny are dealing with. And I heard, so the other day we had a team call, didn't we, on Slack, and I was there but wasn't there. And Jamie was like, it's so difficult to get in contact with her. And I was like, Jamie, I can hear what you're saying.
I was like, I actually can hear you right now. I was like, is this what it is like when you're not here?
The accidental upset. The on internet.
Well, there's loads of like issues that have come out of 2020 in terms of like well, you know, internet issues and stuff.
Where should we start, Pippa? Come on.
No, not this again.
Sit on the couch. You can't even see a therapist.
Can you not?
I don't know.
Over Zoom, you must be.
Yeah, but again.
It's not the same.
Again, like. I don't mind talking. I've had counselling in the past. Right? And on the phone, it's just like, But sitting opposite someone, again, it's energy, isn't it? It's like, you know, without sounding like crank, you know, like just just energy in a room.
It's nice, because it's like the world's been going digital for ages and we finally had to do it, but everyone does prefer like the human contact, which is a good kind of revelation to come out of it, really.
Yeah.
Instead of, I prefer digital, let's just keep everything online.
All these businesses that are like, just work from home forever, and you're like, the employees are like...
The thought of that fills me with fear.
Yeah.
Feels lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be obviously some changes. And do you know what? Like, talking about next year, are we going to be able to jump feet first? Like, I guess we don't know, do we? Like, and that's the thing that, you know, are we going to be able to put a festival on in May? I really, really, really hope so. And then we talked about doing a football. So the European Cup's been moved. So we were going to do like a fan village and stuff. It's like,
sick.
Do we do it? But again, the actual planning of these events is not something you do in a week. It's not something you do in a month when, you know, you can do it in a month, but it's not the best experience ever. And when are we going to find out? You know, and it's all those things, isn't it? Like,
what do you think of the lawyer of Glastonbury saying that Glastonbury is going to happen?
Good on him. I guess it's got as much weight as me saying Highest Point is going to happen.
Yeah.
There's some very big players in this industry, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. That there's some guys, you know, like Melvin at Festival Republic, you know, we're chatting about Sasha before, and Rich McGuinness and people like that. These guys are really, really good at their jobs, right? And they've got a lot of experience, and they're also going to get to a point where they're not going to take any shit, right? And it's got to be said the same about, you know, the football stadiums. It's like, you know, we all saw the photos from the theatre in London, which I've completely forgotten the name of, that was full. I should know the name because I was there in February, but... you know, they're there and what seemed very limited social distancing, but then the Premier League's having to play sound crowds, which I don't know if you've watched. I reckon less people are interested in football at the moment because
yeah, massively.
It's just getting a bit robotic. So we're talking billions and billions of pounds for the economy, right? This all could be looked after a little bit differently. And if they just said, look, this is where we think we're going to be in March. This is where we're going to think we're going to be in May. Disclaimer, we might not be, but this is what we're working towards. And this is where we've not had through any of COVID on any level, you know, and I'm talking to head teachers, I'm talking to people in the events industry, I'm talking to guys that own shops, I'm talking to Jamie that owns a brewery. You don't make beer overnight, yeah? It takes weeks,
yeah?
So you can't, you know, like all the garden centres have got the Christmas stuff up in July because they didn't buy any patio furniture because they knew they weren't going to sell it because they weren't open, yeah? So when you're looking at all this, it all just needs a bit of a plan that says these are our expected lead times, right? Mm-hmm. We may not achieve them, mm-hmm. right? But if we can get to a point that in June, Glastonbury can happen, 200,000 people can hit up Worthy Farm because the camping experience is whatever, and we're going to ask you still to wear a mask in front of the main stage. So we'll have hospitality zones where you can have food and drink, right? And you can take your mask off and they're a bit more socially distanced. But if in front of the main stage, you wear a mask, we can all work with that.
That is a crazy concept, though, isn't it?
It's a massively crazy concept.
I just feel like people wouldn't do that.
No, they might not, but you can ask them to. But if that's what they say we have to try and achieve,
and
we can crack on, then that's fine. Or, I mean, I'm not a massive fan of temperature checks at events because people's body temperatures get raised for other reasons.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's... Again, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a disclaimer, but ultimately, we can't not do anything. And this is the biggie for me, where you're just going, well, hey, yeah, we're going to shut the doors till Christmas. And then Christmas will be not normal. And then you get to the 2nd of December and you go,
yeah,
nah, actually, guys, it's not really worked out. And right down to, like, are you buying a turkey for 10 people or are you buying a turkey for 4 people?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all...
Or if in doubt, get one for 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know when I only have turkey for 4?
Yeah.
Surely people get turkey just for the leftovers, surely.
Yeah, turkey and chips. Yeah.
Like turkey, but...
Smash it.
I'm a veggie, but like... I used to love a stuffing and turkey butty like the next day.
Yeah.
Are the turkeys even counting to vegetarians? Because you only have them once a year, and it's like people that don't...
It's still an animal.
Yeah, I know, but it's like... No, but people don't gamble, but apart from national...
Yeah. Oh, right.
So do you have turkey? Yeah, right, I'm a vegetarian.
I don't think it's the same.
I feel like if I had one thing to be not vegetarian.
No, I don't think it's the same to compare but playing the Grand National.
You don't see turkey. You play the Grand National, yeah?
Putting a quid on the Grand National, yeah. So having a sit down.
But you don't see like turkeys in everyday life, do you? It's not like you're not...
No, because they're all reared for Christmas.
Yeah.
They're hidden away.
Chris Reard. Right. Bringing it back to the music.
That was a sidetrack.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been really interesting talking to you.
Yeah, I feel like I've loved talking about going out for like just this, like however long we've been chatting.
I mean, like it's been nice. Like it's the making of all of us, and you do notice. I mean, even now somebody's turning the music up so we can hear it on the podcast, which
yeah,
is really nice.
I've asked
Patrick to turn it down. But he's not answering me.
No.
You can't hear, you're confused.
It is the making of most people. And, you know, most people that work at Skiddle love some form of music. Do you know, like, we've got a workforce that goes out.
Yeah.
On the whole. Yeah. You know, and like, you know.
I feel like...
So some of them might not go to techno clubs. You know, Sarah downstairs, she doesn't go raving as such, but then she enjoys going out to other things and doing
whatever. Yeah, there's loads of different kind of musical preferences.
Yeah. But then that's the... I've like got into way different music because we've had music on in the office. Yeah. And like,
totally.
Yeah, and people have been playing stuff and I'm like, actually, I like this. I thought I only like electronic and music, again, but like, actually I don't.
And this is the thing being sat at home working by yourself, like you're not being influenced by anything.
No, I feel like I'm not learning as much new music as I used to.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
So you can either stick your Spotify on or other music browsing platforms are available, but but you kind of end up listening to what you like listening to. Same. And then Spotify starts telling you that you should listen to this because you like listening to this.
What's it called? An echo chamber.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's made me feel really like, yeah, that's true.
Whereas if you're in the office and, you know, Chris White used to like putting, Lana Del Rey. Oh, she's horrible, isn't she? But
I don't think I could listen to her.
Suicide.
It's very like, I'm just going to be moody in my bedroom.
Yeah. Takes me back to being 16. Yeah. And but do you know what? You listen to it and you appreciate.
Yeah, I've never worked anywhere where I could come in on a Monday and my manager says, how was Warehouse Project?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's great. I saw this person. I wouldn't even tell my managers in my old jobs that I went out on a Saturday. I'd be like, what are you doing on the weekend? I'd be like, going to have a drink with a friend.
Going to meet some friends and drink a bottle of Prosecco to myself.
Yeah, like...
That's true. There used to be like a work-friendly version of like weekend plans.
Yeah, but it's not really a thing here. It's like, no. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, now it's like, so what did you do on Saturday? Well, I did a quiz.
Oh, God.
And then I fell down the stairs because I was drunk.
Oh, I'm embarrassed to even talk about my weekends at the moment when people ask me, because it's so boring. I'm like, nothing.
Well, if you change phone network, people will be able to invite you out.
Nobody's ringing me.
Who did you talk to?
No one. I love how this has become like a common joke now. Me and my signal. It's actually I've actually had to get like an actual phone. You know, like a landline. I've got a landline.
Hello, Pippa 338.
It rang the other day when I was on a Slack call, and they were like, "What is that noise?" I was like, "It's my landline."
Wow. Meanwhile, my parents don't have a landline anymore because no one uses them.
In it, I've aged about 50 years.
So,
this one
when you talk about going out and in the olden days.
The golden
age.
Yeah, you'd ring people up on a landline and say it was a girl, but then the dad answered. You'd be like, "Oh, is she in?" She? Who's she? I've forgotten her name because I'm terrified to talk to you.
You've got your best phone voice on.
Anyway, what are you doing? Yeah, just wondering if she's not going out this weekend.
Okay. Or ringing people from a phone box.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet you have to, like, make plans and then, like, not like, change them at all. Like, yeah, the plans change all the time, don't they? But back in the day, it must have been,
you just
like...
just have to trust that the other person shows up.
See you at six.
Yeah. WhatsApp, text message.
Where now it's like, if you don't WhatsApp or message on the day, it's definitely not happening, is it? Do you know what I mean? Like, to just check, like, is it still, we're still going out?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Did we even go out if we didn't blue tick?
Our Instagram.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's been really great.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it very much.
Good.
Big thanks for telling us all about your experiences.
Loads about Carlisle first. Yeah.
You know, and hopefully we'll revisit this in a year's time, and you can tell us all about how great Highest Point was and how how you enjoyed chatting to everyone.
Yeah.
Or how good the quiz was.
Oh God.
Yeah. So, thanks very much. Lots of luck with the podcast.
Thanks.
Very honoured to be your first guest on it, and I'll be the same, Pat.
Thank you for listening to the Going Out podcast with Skiddle. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe wherever you hear this podcast.
Thank you.